From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today, we'll bring you more information about Indonesia. You can listen on voanews.id. And now, we would like to begin with the news. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says the growth of the agricultural sector must be maintained amid the pandemic. The private sector in Indonesia has a role to support economy. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said the performance of the agricultural sector that continues to grow at a positive level even though in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic crisis must be maintained. In a virtual limited meeting from the Presidential Palace Bogor on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo said the momentum for growth in the agricultural sector must be continued to sustain the welfare of farmers and fishermen. In the second quarter of 2020, based on data from the Central Statistic Agency, the agricultural sector still grew by 16.24% by quarter to quarter. Amid many other business sectors are contracted to negative levels due to the COVID-19 pandemic. While the agricultural sector also continues to grow 2.19% year-on-year, the president also asked the rank of ministries and related institutions to realize a business model that can increase the economic capacity of farmers, so that it will be easier for farmers to get access of finance and information technology and have sufficient capital to strengthen their marketing. Deputy Minister for State-Owned Enterprises Ibudi Gunadi Sadikin says that the private sector has a big role in supporting the national economy. Budi Gunadi Sadikin said this in a virtual Lemhanas discussion in Jakarta on Tuesday. Currently, according to the minister, the private sector's contribution to the national economy is around 60-70% and the rest by the enterprises and the government. The minister said efforts to involve the private sector could be done by the government through interesting regulation. Minister Budi said that if the previous government, like in the era of President Sukarno and President Suharto, the state budget had a big enough role in driving the national economy, but currently the private sector plays a bigger role. The Indonesian government plans to make mass use of natural gas through the gas network or Jargas. This is considered important because natural gas supplied through Jargas is more attractive, efficient, clean, and safe amid higher demands of modern society. Director of Planning and Development of Oil and Gas Infrastructure, Director General of Oil and Gas, Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Alimuddin Basso, said that his party is carrying out a transformation in energy management by accelerating Jargas development. Apart from minimizing the subsidy rate, the step is effective in helping to create independent society that are and economically strong. Alimuddin Basso added that the central government had opened cooperation with local governments or private parties, both from domestic and foreign countries, to build a government and business entity cooperation scheme with the target that by 2024 there will be built 4 million connections for houses. The acting mayor of Batam, Shamsul Bahrum, welcomed this plan. Shamsul said that the efforts to make green energy is in line with the realization of a green city. The Batam city government is ready to work together with other parties through Batam Regional Owned Enterprises BUMD. This preliminary study for 2020 is held in 9 districts or cities in Indonesia, starting from Batam, Palembang, Bandar Lampung, Medan, Mojokerto, Pasuruan, Jombang, Cirebon, and Depok. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. World Health Organization WHO stated that about 1 of 10 people might be infected with the coronavirus COVID-19. This makes a large part of the world's population vulnerable to the COVID-19 disease caused by this deadly virus. As reported by Channel News Asia on Tuesday, WHO emergency expert Mike Ryan said that the corona pandemic has soared in several Southeast Asian countries, as well as increasing in parts of Europe and in the East Mediterranean region.
Our current best estimates tell us that about 10% of the global population may have been infected by this virus. This varies depending on country, it varies from urban to rural, it varies between different groups. But what it does mean is that the vast majority of the world remains at risk. We are now heading into a difficult period. The disease continues to spread. It is on the rise in many parts of the world.
Mike Ryan's statement was delivered while giving an explanation to the WHO executive board in which the United States launched a covert attack to China for what he called a failure to provide accurate and timely information about corona. WHO and other experts claimed that the coronavirus, which is believed to have emerged in a food market at Wuhan City, China last year, came from animals. WHO deployed a number of its experts on an international mission to China to investigate the number of origins of the coronavirus for being considered by the Chinese authorities. U.S. Assistant Secretary of Health Brad Gerer stated that it was imperative for the 194 WHO member countries to receive regular and timely development so that all countries can be involved in the process and have confidence in the results. Kuwaiti government chaired by Prime Minister Sabah Al-Khalid Al-Sabah submitted on Tuesday its resignation to Emir Nawaf Al-Ahmed Al-Jaber Al-Sabah in anticipation of the November general election, according to the state-run Kuwait news agency. The Emir has praised the efforts of the Prime Minister and his government in fulfilling their obligations and affirmed his confidence that the current cabinet would continue to perform its constitutional duties and finish arrangement for upcoming legislative election. The election campaign is due to be held in late November. Al-Sabah was sworn in as the new Qatari ruler on September 30th after the death of Emir Sabah IV, who had led the country since 2006. Most of the European companies in Russia, which have been affected to some extent by the coronavirus pandemic, expect their business activity to recover in 2021. According to the joint survey by the Association of European Business AEB and GfK's Ross Research Institute, the research dubbed Strategies and Prospects for European Companies in Russia has been held annually since 2011 and focuses on the main prospects and challenges of European companies doing business in Russia. The latest study was conducted from July to August 2020 among 90 top managers of companies as well as members of the AEB working in Russia. According to the survey, nearly two-thirds or 64% of the participants said that their business was affected by the coronavirus pandemic. A quarter of these companies expect their business to recover by the end of 2020, while most of them believed it will take longer to quit the crisis in 2021. The government of Japan has agreed to allow business people from South Korea to enter the country without the necessity of spending 14 days in quarantine due to COVID-19 starting October 8. The Japanese Foreign Ministry said on Tuesday. According to the statement, business people planning a short-term stay in Japan of up to 90 days will be exempt from quarantine if they have a negative COVID-19 test result received over the past 72 hours before the entry and the written plan of the trip. Upon arrival in Japan, an individual will have to undergo another coronavirus test and install an application on a smartphone that will monitor the health condition and movement of a business traveler for 14 days. During this period, the individual can travel from the place of residence to the place of work only by car in his use. Long-term visitors from South Korea are required to be tested for COVID-19 upon their arrival and self-isolate for 14 days. Japanese Foreign Minister Toshimitsu Motegi told reporters on Tuesday about the importance of restoring economic ties with South Korea, which has been disrupted by the spread of coronavirus. Japan is South Korea's third largest trading partner. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
マスクを着用して COVID-19 の感染拡大を防ぎましょう。私のマスクはあなたを守る。あなたのマスクは私を守ってくれる。
وقو انتقال فيروس COVID-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح. قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني.
让正确佩戴口罩以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión.Usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Other Countries' Intervention in Armenian-Azerbaijani Conflict. Armed conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia has yet to see the end. Since the war in Nagorno-Karabakh broke out 2 weeks ago, at least 200 lives had been taken. The dispute between the two countries was rooted on the First World War, also threatens creating greater environmental damage as well as rich natural gas resources in Caucasia, Turkey.Azerbaijan's main ally, showed influence in this conflict. It is through dialogue with NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, who visited Ankara to meet with Turkey high officials. NATO hoped Turkey would use their influence to alleviate the armed conflict in Nagorno-Karabakh, a border area between Azerbaijan and Armenia, which is controlled by Armenian separatists.Before the dissolution of the Soviet Union in the 90s, Nagorno-Karabakh belonged to Azerbaijan. However, separatist rebels consisting of people of Armenian ethnicity with support from Armenian government made Nagorno-Karabakh removed from Azerbaijan. Until now, it has not received official recognition from the United Nations. Conflict in this region had caused people evacuating from Nagorno-Karabakh and thousands died.The situation became more complicated because of intervention from other countries. Each country has different interests in the struggle for influence in Caucasia, which is rich with mineral resources. The region that is not far from Nagorno-Karabakh is passed by oil and gas pipes that become oil resources for many countries, especially Europe.By considering Turkey's influence in the form of support for Azerbaijan's government,NATO requested Turkey to encourage the end of the conflict and tensions. Previously, Turkey President Recep Tayyip Erdogan called the Azerbaijani people to recapture Nagorno-Karabakh. Now, responding to NATO's invitation, Turkey Minister of Foreign Affairs Mevlut Cavusoglu urged NATO to ask Armenia to exit Nagorno-Karabakh. According to the government in Ankara, the solution for a conflict that had killed at least 30,000 peopleSince the 90s, must be done in balance. Azerbaijani government amid the war that broke out in June as Armenia to retreat from Nagorno-Karabakh. This armed conflict in Nagorno-Karabakh emerged along with tensions in Eastern Mediterranean between Turkey and Greece. It cannot be denied that in the two conflicts, Turkey placed their influence significantly. The efforts to end the war in Nagorno-Karabakh in the end will depend on the commitment of Azerbaijan and Armenia. Foreign intervention is not a decisive factor for peace. Until now, there is no sign that the two conflicting countries will have any negotiation. It seems the tragedy of Nagorno-Karabakh is yet to end. That was commentary I'm Dioka Kusumawati.
We meet again in Today in History of a Voice of Indonesia. We start from a historical event on October 7, 1950, Mother Teresa formed the Charitas Missionaries Order. Charitas Missionaries in a Catholic religious order founded on October 7, 1950. As of 2012, the order consisted of about 4,500 sisters. The sisters of this order keep the promise of chastity, poverty, obedience, and give wholeheartedly free services to the poorest of the poor. This order was founded by Mother Teresa from Calcutta. She was a Roman Catholic nun of Albanian descent and Indian nationality. For more than 47 years, she served the poor, sick, and orphaned while guiding the expansion of the first missionaries of charity throughout India and subsequently in other countries. Next turn to a story on October 7, 1952, birthday of Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin was born on October 7, 1952 in Leningrad, Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic, USSR, or now St. Petersburg, Russian Federation. Vladimir Putin is a Russian politician and was re-elected as President of Russia from May 7, 2012 to the present. Previously, he served as Prime Minister from 1999 to 2000, President from 2000 to 2008, and returned to being Prime Minister from 2008 to 2012. During his second term as Prime Minister, he chaired a government party, the United Russia Party. During Putin's first presidency, the Russian economy grew for 8 years and the gross domestic product GDP increased by 72%. In 2007, he was named Figure of the Year of Time magazine version. In 2015, he was placed at number one in Time magazine's list of most influential people. In 2013, 2014, and 2015, he was ranked number one on Forbes magazine's list of most influential people in the world. We end with a story with Orkut on October 7, 2001, Afghan War began. The Afghan War began on October 7, 2001. After the World Trade Center attacks on September 11, the United States began the War on Terrorism campaign in Afghanistan with the aim of overthrowing the rule of the Taliban, who were accused of protecting Al-Qaeda, and to arrest Osama bin Laden. The Northern Alliance of Afghanistan provides the majority of troops with support from the United States and NATO countries, including the United Kingdom, France, the Netherlands, and Australia. The code name given by the United States for this conflict is Operation Immortal Freedom. Listener, that was Today in History.
Adakah engkau mendengar lagu rindu yang kutulis untukmu? Betapa jarak waktu memaksa kita memaknai sebuah kata rindu. Adakah engkau mendengar doa-doaku di ruang batinmu. Aku akan bertahan untukmu, menjaga semua janji ini. Doakan aku cepat kembali, dan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Kutitipkan engkau pada pemilik jiwa, karena ku yakin dia akan menjaga asa yang aku tinggalkan pada lingkar janji kehormatanmu. Oh, karena aku akan bertahan untukmu, menjaga semua janji ini. Doakan aku cepat kembali, dan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Bila kau menungguku,
are still with us, English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next information about Indonesia will be in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Government Accelerates Electric Vehicle Infrastructure. Indonesia, through synergy among ministries and institutions and regional governments, are accelerating electric vehicle infrastructure. This aims to guarantee energy availability for the users. Quoted from Antara on Sunday, the Director for Electric Technical and Environment at the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Wanhar, had created policies especially for the electric vehicle charging infrastructure. Wanhar hoped business people could participate through the given incentives. Wanhar also said the Energy and Mineral Resources Minister issued Ministerial Regulation No. 13, year 2020, on power charging infrastructure procurement for battery-based electric vehicle. In that regulation was also discussed power charging station and battery swap station for electric vehicles, which include charging stations and private chargers, such as at showroom, private companies, and households. Wanhar further said in the General Planning for National Energy, or RUEN, the government targets 2,200 units of electric cars and 2.13 million units of electric motorbikes to be produced in 2025. This number will increase up to 4.2 million electric cars and 13.3 million electric bikes in 2050. In the general planning, the power station is also targeted to be 1,000 units in 2025 and 10,000 units in 2050. According to OneHeart, the government had a roadmap with state-owned power company PT PLN, namely fulfilling the target of 189 charging stations across Indonesia in 2020, both charging stations and battery swap stations. Government had also planned in 2025 there will be 2,465 power charging stations. Until now, there have been 62 units of charging stations owned by PLN, Agency for Assessment and Application of Technology, Pertamina, and private companies. OneHeart reminded that electric vehicles are eco-friendly, so he invited all to move on to electric vehicle for cleaner air with lower cost. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
But
Thank you very much if you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next, we'll bring you to have a glimpse about Indonesia, our tourism, or our local wisdom. Next one, Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Laiwangi Wanggameti National Park. Laiwangi Wanggameti National Park is a flora and fauna of a protected region in Sumba Island, East Nusa Tenggara. It is located in the south of Sumba Island and has a distance around 100 km from Waingapu. Administratively, the park is located in the three districts, namely Tabundung, Paberiwai, and Pinu Pahar. The park is a representation of various types of forest in Sumba Island, including rare elephant forest. This park has a diversity of high-value species, especially those found at an altitude of 800 meters above sea level. Laiwangi Wanggameti National Park is also the forest area of Wanggameti, which is dominated by omang trees or forest pine trees. The combination of several types of ecosystems with steep hilly landscapes and deep valleys is an exotic natural landscape found in Laiwangi Wanggameti National Park. This exotic panorama can be enjoyed through jungle cruising and climbing tour packages. Some of the most ideal entrances or scenic points to enjoy the beauty of the exotic panorama of Laiwangi Wanggameti National Park can be passed through Nangga Village, Wanggameti Village, Katikuwai Plateau, and Wanggameti Peak. In addition, there are also some special tourism objects such as Lake Laputi, Laputi Waterfall, Waikanabu Waterfall, and Wanggameti Waterfall. Lake Laputi and Laputi Waterfall are located in Praing Kareha Village, Tabundung District. This tourism destination is also well known and visited by many tourists. Waikanabu Waterfall is located in Waikanabu Village, Tabundung District. To get to Laiwangi Wanggameti National Park, you can go by plane which takes around 1 hour from Kupang to Waingapu. Arriving at Waingapu to Watumbaka Maujawa Malolo Kanagar, you have to continue by land transportation for 2 hours to the location. This trip is rather tiring, but you will feel an unbelievable adventure while enjoying the beauty of Laiwangi Wanggameti National Park. So, set your time to get an amazing adventure in East Nusa Tenggara. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye!
Welcome to the new normal. Now we are facing uncertainties, uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear masks everywhere. Always keeps your distance when doing activities, and avoid crowds.
Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
Di matamu tak bisa kau mengerti aku. Ada banyak wajah cerita, kau bisa pilih semaumu. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku, oh, oh. Hanya hatiku. Satu tumbuh seribu kata-katamu seperti debu. Ada banyak wajah cerita, ku kan memilih yang ku mau. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku. Gelas penuhmu, oh, oh, takkan terisi. Hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku. Bicaralah, oh, oh, yang kau mau. Bicaralah yang kau mau, ini hidupku. Bicaralah yang kau mau, ini hidupmu.
If you're still thirsty for more information about Indonesia, the next one will be the interesting information about Indonesia in
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is isi ulang kartu uang elektronik. In English, refilling electronic money card. Listen to this conversation about isi ulang kartu uang elektronik, in English, refilling electronic money card. At the convenience store, Kevin wants to refill his electronic money card.
Ada yang bisa dibantu?
Saya mau mengisi ulang kartu uang elektronik.
Mau mengisi berapa?
Tolong isikan 200 ribu rupiah.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'm going to say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Which means, can I help you? Saya mau mengisi ulang kartu uang elektronik. Saya mau mengisi ulang kartu uang elektronik. Which means, I want to refill my electronic money card. Mau mengisi berapa? How much do you want to fill? 200 ribu. Which means 200,000 rupiah. If you want to refill your electronic money card, you can use the word isikan, which means asking for something to be filled. In the dialogue, Kevin asked to refill his electronic money card by saying, tolong isikan 200 ribu rupiah, which means please fill in 200,000 rupiah. When you ask for refilling, you can also use the word tambah. For example, tolong tambah 200 ribu rupiah di kartu uang elektronik ini, which means please add 200,000 rupiah on this electronic money card. Listener, if you want to ask for something, you can use the word tolong. The word tolong is a formal and polite expression to ask for something. For example, tolong ambilkan buah itu, which means please bring me the fruit. This expression is more polite than ambilkan buah itu, which is usually used in informal sentences when you talk with a friend or younger person. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Ada yang bisa dibantu?
Saya mau mengisi ulang kartu uang elektronik.
Mau mengisi berapa?
Tolong isikan 200 ribu rupiah.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Ketika ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul tanya, masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta, atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Siapkah kau tujuan?
Rantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco, the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Besides information, we are providing you also with some good music to lift up your day. And anyway, we get more for you. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I present a song from West Kalimantan entitled Aik Kapuas. The song Aik Kapuas was composed by Paul Putra Frederick that tells about Kapuas River and Pontianak City. Kapuas River is not only the longest river in West Kalimantan, but also in Indonesia. Besides, the song Aik Kapuas also narrates about the history of Pontianak City, which is separated by Kapuas River. The song also mentions that in the past, Pontianak was a forest, but now it has transformed into a big city. In the last lyric of the song mentioned that those who drinking the water of Kapuas River, they will never be able to forget it and will be back there. Well, listener, here is the song Aik Kapuas by Rino Prasetya featuring Henry Lamiri. Enjoy the song.
Song tribute to Paul Putra Frederick. simpan laju dari hilir sampai ke hulu. Sungai Kapua, sumbu panjang dari dulu.
Well then, listener, it's time for us to not to say goodbye, but we're inviting you to stay tuned with us. Anyway, please send your criticism, suggestion, or question to our email, voi@vonnews.id, voi@vonnews.id, or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. And listener, more information about Indonesia is coming up shortly, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.